from the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of September 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, and if you can stick around for the whole of the hour, we'll hear Commodity Week recorded yesterday afternoon with our guests, including Jerry Golke and Bryce Knorr, along with Greg Ginder and Brian Stark. Amazingly enough, I had four friendlies, maybe even bullish analysts for the commodity markets. You'll want to hear it. It's a good program. So stay with us on this Friday afternoon. And if you can't, then pick it up off the website at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Either way, the numbers finished up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. December corn down a quarter at 336 and a half. The March at 346 and a quarter, a half lower. July down a penny and a half at 359 and a half. December down three quarters at 375 and three quarters. November beans 21 and a half lower at 955. The January 961 down 21. May down 19 and a half at 971 and three quarters. July 18 and a half lower. Next year's November at 949 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. Bean oil off 65 cents, bean meal down $4.60, soft red winter wheat in the July unchanged at $4.50, the hard red 457 and three quarters of a cent higher, live cattle in the October contract at 107.32 and a half, up 25 cents, September feeders at 136.72 and a half, 27 and a half lower in the October contract there, 7 and a half higher at $132.37 and a half cents. Lean hogs, October contract $53.97 and a half, down 22 and a half cents. We're now joined as usual for a Friday by Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Happy Friday to you too, sir.
Well, thank you so much. So I want to start with the losses in the soybeans. I don't know that these would have been a big surprise to most people given the strength that that market's had in the last week, but maybe you could explain to me what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably the swiftness of the break and the fact that the trade didn't want to stop and meander at support, near-term support of 965 and November beans probably is the issue that we'll walk away from coming, you know, into the weekend and into Sunday night's trade, especially given some of the extra heavy precipitation that we saw this past week in Iowa and Minnesota. In fact, the Cedar Rapids, Iowa Cargill crushing plant is reportedly now shut down due to flooding. Areas around that crushing plant received, from what I've heard, 9 to 10 inches of rain here just in the last 4 to 5 days, 6 days. So I think the trade probably was struck, Todd, by the fast move down in the soybeans, given what's going on with the weather in the Western Corn Belt. But I will have to say, when the Chinese came out with their dumping, anti-dumping duties and slapped that on USDDGs, I think it was a pretty clear case where meal became the leader to the downside. I think the trade's now thinking you're going to see a backing up of DDGs. They're going to stay in the United States. They're going to be a protein that is going to effectively compete with the meal market because they're not going to get shipped out to China. And I think this is an issue that we'll have to be very careful about. I think it can be an issue much like the dollar, much like the crude oil, that could be with us and protract or extend the weakness in the beans a little bit longer. And I think the crude oil is another feature or factor where the market was expecting in the energies an OPEC deal put together by Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Iran. They had priced that in, I think. They did not get that today, and as a result, they pulled that premium out and then some. And with the typical culprits, Iran and Russia, not technically wanting to play ball with the Saudi Arabians, at least that's how it's being spun in the news.
So I'd like to take apart just a little bit what the Chinese did today and why, and maybe you can help me out. They imposed a 33.8% duty on DDGs imported from the United States. But I don't think from all companies, I'm not quite certain whether that's the case or not, but certainly from the bulk of them. This is in retaliation for some steel industry duties and tariffs that has been part of a trade problem that the United States has had with China. So it has to deal with another force in the economy. I think all of those things are correct.
Right.
And from what Reuters reported earlier in the day, it appeared that many in the industry had recognized it was coming and had already slowed or curbed some of their exports of DDGs. However, they have to go somewhere. And your suggestion is, and I think probably rightfully so, that the livestock sector in the United States will be the place that ends up. And it's just a matter that they pile up and they get to be cheaper and a better source than bean meal, or compete with bean meal. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think the timing of it is important. I have to say, this steel issue, well, I shouldn't say the specific steel issue, but from the limited understanding that I have, and I don't follow the tariffs and the WTO issues as closely as I should when it comes to non-agricultural issues, but the steel issue's been going on for better than a decade between the United States and China. It's getting ridiculous at this point. It really makes you wonder the World Trade Organization and the way it operates, whether things are really useful in the practical world. But that's for another day. I think the timing is what is at issue here, Todd. Is that we're in the heart of harvest. The trade is hearing these nice-sized yields coming across the central and eastern corn belt. I don't think they're as healthy and big in the western corn or bean belt yet. Obviously, we haven't gotten into the beans as heavily. In fact, we just started shelling corn around here yesterday. I started to see a lot more combines rolling and corn getting shelled. We really haven't gotten into beans in this part of the world. But I think the timing is the issue, is that we're getting good yield reports. And you saw the processors both on Wednesday and Thursday, in a lot of parts of the country, especially right around Indiana and Illinois, dump their bean basis by 20, 25 cents, you know, and they did that a couple times this week. And so essentially those quick ship bids went away, the beans came in, and then all of a sudden this issue with the WTO and China came out as well. And I think it's just a momentum or sentiment issue more than anything.
Is the beans, are the beans your weakest marketplace at this time?
Yeah, I think they have to be called that because you don't have the strength in the Chinese economy. And I have to say, I've been tracking the inflation data. One of the big reasons why we had the big rally in the soybeans was because China was rebuilding their hog herd. They had extremely high crush break-even rates. They had extremely tight protein feed supplies for the rebuilding of their hog herd. We had the crude oil rally after the February break. Now the Chinese inflationary data is back down to its lowest it's been all year of 2016. So I do have to say, with Argentina and Brazil, especially Brazil, now starting to physically plant, I think they came in at 1.5% planted in Mato Grosso at this stage of the game. I do think beans are probably the weakest, especially given these yield reports.
What are we hearing about corn? It held actually fairly strong, given the number of acres that are probably being harvested and the weakness in the soybeans today.
I would say that even with the harvest weather opening up, I felt as though the corn and wheat market made probably some of the best headway in the medium term that I've seen in probably over a year. And I would say we're very much on track with the 2014 market. We're only about a dime different from where we were at this same time period in September of 2014. You had a lot of good news in the wheat, a lot of fundamentally supply-demand news that was good in the wheat. Morocco purchased U.S. soft red and hard red wheat. Egypt removed the zero ergot policy. Weekly export sales were 30% better than the four-week average. And India today came in and dropped their import tariff for wheat to 10% from 25%. Very many things starting to move in favor of the wheat low being put in. And in 2014, just to give you an idea, these wheat futures were able to find a low on September 25th, right around 474. So we're running about 30 to 50 cents lower than that at this stage of the game, and in some cases even 70 cents lower depending on what wheat contract you look at. But I looked at this wheat week as a very nice week for the wheat, and for the corn yields continue to disappoint compared to 2014 levels. And I think even in Illinois, where that 200 bushel state average is posted by USDA, that probably needs to come down some.
What did corn do in 2014 from this forward into this month, forward into January?
Yeah, good question. We made a low right around the 30th at 320 and three quarters. And by the time we expired on the 12th of December, we were at 396 and a quarter. And I think, again, that's something that you and I have talked about. I think that 380 to 395 level is feasible. We need the wheat, though, because, again, the wheat is trailing where it was back in 2014. So it'd be nice to get a lot of demand news here and give this wheat some catch up with 2014 and make that wheat corn spread work in favor of us instead of against us.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too, Mike. Mike Zuzulo, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check in now on the agricultural weather forecast with Eric Snodgrass. He's at Agrible. Good afternoon to you, Eric.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us. Tell me a little bit about what you see in the week ahead. Looks like the weather's going to get nicer, or at least cooler.
Yeah, it's been pretty funny. We've been waiting for a good answer about what this next week's weather is going to look like, because the models have had really, really low skill in forecasting this cool down that's coming. At times they stretch it out for several days, and other times they say it's not coming in. So there's been a lot of trouble forecasting this cool down, but we finally have an answer. The trough that's going to come across the middle part of the country is right now setting up over the western United States. And as it gets here toward the end of the weekend, it's going to help drag a big cold front through the area. And not only is that going to drop our temperatures back down into the 70s, very, very close to what they should be for this time of year, but it's also going to bring some more rain and storms through the area. But the big question has always been, how long is this cool down going to last? And the latest model projections don't have it lasting much beyond about September 30th. And that's because we have another big ridge that kind of builds up through the Great Plains and spreads east toward the end of next week. And what that does is that brings us back up into the lower, maybe even the middle 80s. So while I think this is maybe summer's last hurrah with, you know, middle 90 temperatures, we are going to stay warmer than average, maybe for the first week of October. And again, that's all because we have this what we call a wave train. We have these troughs followed by ridges that keep moving through the system and really prevent us from getting stuck into one pattern for quite some time. So one of the things that this really makes me concerned about is, what is the rain going to look like as it comes through this weekend? Because, you know, we've had some incredible rains over the last 3 days in Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. They've been soaked. We're talking 5, 6, 7 inches of rain. Some rivers around there reaching record levels. And so with this next system as it comes through, it's going to drag that front on through there and, again, bring more rain to that area and also to us. But the good news is that after this system moves through and we get that ridge that builds back in at the end of next week, we could see another dry down. I know a lot of farmers are out there trying to get in the fields, trying to get as much done as they can before this rain gets here this weekend. It looks like they're going to have another decent chance for harvest after this weekend's rain kind of comes through.
Anything else happening in our part of the world that we need to be keeping an eye on?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there's something that might be moving into our part of the world. You know, meteorologists all across the planet right now are really focused in on this tropical wave that's coming off of Africa. Now, what that means is that tropical wave has the potential to develop into a hurricane should it get into the right part of the open Atlantic. Well, anyways, as that system's moving across, we're right now forecasting it get into the Caribbean, where the conditions are nearly perfect for hurricane development. Now, why I'm bringing this up is that some model forecasts keep taking that, you know, potential, that potential developing system right up into the lower Mississippi River Valley, which could really have an impact. Now, my forecast confidence in this is really, really low at this stage, but it's something that we have to be watching, because, you know, we just reached the peak of the hurricane season just a few days ago, and so there's a lot of it still left over. And speaking of tropics, we can't forget about Brazil. We've had quite a bit of precipitation spreading back through the northern parts of Brazil, which have been very, very dry going into this upcoming planting time. So this will help bring the water storage back up in the soils, help alleviate that drought. So it looks like they're going to have a decent start to their growing season, given the rains have already returned.
Thanks so much for taking the time with me today. We'll talk with you again in 1 week.
Great. Thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He's with Agrible from Research Park right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Joins us each and every Friday afternoon.